Our next presenter is Shannon Lang. Shannon has a Master's of Social Work in Organizational and Community Practice from Michigan State University. She has been with the Michigan Public Health Institute for over 9 years. During that time, Shannon has designed and coordinated over 20 public health projects serving local and tribal communities. She has been the team leader for CDC evaluation projects in which communities apply policy, system, and environmental change strategies to improve physical activity, nutrition, and tobacco use and exposure. For the past 7 years, Shannon has focused on supporting tribes and tribal organizations carrying out community health assessments, surveillance, community health improvement planning, and culturally tailored evidence-based practices through participatory evaluation, training, and technical assistance. Her areas of interest include health equity, social determinants of health, Native American health and wellness, and community practice participatory approaches.
I've been steadily almost losing my voice for a few days now, so I'm hoping it hangs on. Sorry if it gets a little light. I'm also going to talk about evaluating these types of initiatives, but I'm not going to be sharing any results because I purposely wanted to focus on the approach in the planning process and a couple ways to think about doing this because it's really complex. And so I want to acknowledge first the co-author, Dr. Monal Shroff. We have no relationships to disclose. A very special acknowledgement to the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians. These are the good people and great communities doing really important work. And then my project team members that have worked on the evaluation of this project over the years. Native Americans in Michigan have extremely high rates of chronic disease, morbidity, and mortality that far exceed state and national averages. The rates of obesity and cardiovascular disease, smoking rates, all of these things disproportionately burden this population. And there's a lot of interrelated factors, as you can see listed there. And in leading also and connected to barriers with the conditions in which they live. So access to quality, culturally competent care is an issue. Their environments that don't promote walking and biking to community locations. Limited access, particularly, I'll tell you about where this community is at, but weather, the climate is an issue. Preventing healthy food sort of year-round. And then social norms that inadvertently support health risk behaviors, in particular commercial tobacco use. So MPHI has been doing work with tribes for several years. We started in 2005 working really closely with tribal organizations as the evaluator for Intertribal Council of Michigan's Steps to a Healthier Anishinaabe project. This was part of CDC's Steps to a Healthier U.S. And the Sioux Tribe was one of the partnering tribes on that project. And so when that funding came to an end, we worked directly with Sioux Tribe at the request to help them apply for a CDC Strategic Alliance for Health grant that was funded. So if you're not familiar, the Strategic Alliance for Health initiative started in 2008. It was planned to be a five-year initiative. It was cut a little short to four. Most of the communities are on a no-cost extension, and this is the fifth year that they just started in October. So Sioux Tribe is continuing work for another year. The initiative targets physical activity, nutrition, tobacco use, and exposure, and it's the whole idea is that you take a multi-sector approach and that you're really addressing factors across multiple areas of the community using the sustainable and these evidence-based policy systems, environmental changes. So the Sioux Tribe's project. Sioux Tribe has about 13,000 members in their 7-county service area. We talk about land-based. It looks pretty small, but actually that 7 counties is about 8,500 square miles. And it takes about from the bridge, which connects the upper peninsula of Michigan to the lower peninsula, over to the left, far left or west side of the service area, it's over 4 hours. Very limited highways and roadways to get there. And the weather, of course, it's in the upper peninsula, it's very far north, so the climate is an issue. For this project, they had plans that reached all across their 7 counties, but also funded 4 specific communities to really do some targeted work at the local level. There was a leadership team that oversaw the project across the service area and was made up of tribal decision makers, staff, policymakers, and community members. And then each of the four funded communities had a local coalition that was driving their community action plans in their community. And then in addition, the Sioux Tribe mentored four communities. So this all happened in a span of 4 years. They took on, and in addition to doing their work, they mentored two other tribes and then two non-tribal communities in carrying out plans like theirs. This is a snapshot of their community action plans, and again, this was happening at multiple levels. Some of the strategies were really targeted to the tribe specifically and on tribal land, and then others were community-wide, so were tribal and non-tribal partnerships, because the tribe has sort of a checkerboard of tribal land across the service area. And so across the different sectors, you can see things relating to non-motorized transportation, like complete streets and transportation plans, initiatives like community-wide walking challenges, farmers markets, gardens. In the school, they did sub-awards to schools to work on coordinated school health, safe routes to school, wellness policies, smoke-free campuses. And then at work sites and community organizations, one of the really big things that they did was smoke-free tribal housing, and that's what they actually wrote an implementation guide around. And then a big part of sort of what I could have put across all of these was training and leadership development. Here's our logic model. We developed this along with the tribe, thinking about what were the key strategies, what was actually going to come from that in terms of outputs, and then what did we expect to see based on the literature in terms of outcomes that we could look at in the short term, mid, and then long term. And a really big piece that they believed of the program was the infrastructure that they were creating or enhancing, the leadership they were developing, and then the implementation of these plans that had been based on all the assessment data they had collected. And so what we were looking at in the short term was really wanting to see an increase in awareness and sort of agreement about what the priorities are. And then an increase in the number and breadth of partners that were involved in it, enhanced strategic abilities, enhanced strategic partnerships, sharing of resources and visibility of the project. And then in that short term, we also wanted to see policies start to be developed and some changes in practices in these organizations happening, so that in the midterm we could see actual action among the public and political leaders to want to support these efforts. Seeing an increase in investment of resources, and then the actual changes in policy and systems beginning to occur so that environments were improved and access was increased. So that over the long term, we'd see a sustainable strategic alliance of partners working on common goals. And then in terms of health, a change in some of the predominant social norms and health behaviors. So designing the evaluation for this, we did extensive lit reviews throughout the process, very focused on topics, but then just looking at how can we approach this evaluation, because this is a huge undertaking. And Sioux Tribe, their staff, they are go-getters. They are really ambitious people, and they get things done. So we knew that this evaluation was going to have to have that same sort of characteristic. I found there's a lot of literature going back to 2004 that was saying that, you know, it's this type of work, it's sort of unfeasible to apply the really most scientifically rigorous approaches because, you know, you can't do an RCT. You can't randomly assign residents. In rural areas, in terms of selecting comparison communities, there's really different sort of migration patterns and you know, people that might live outside of in a very rural county, they come into city centers for a lot of their services, so they're going to still be exposed to some of your interventions. You can't really clearly identify who was and wasn't exposed. And then because resources were scarce and, you know, the tribe was really driving this project, and so we always want them to decide where they want to put their resources. They wanted to focus, of course, on the programming, but also they wanted to look at impact just in their communities. They weren't really interested in looking at comparison communities. And so we took this approach that we wanted to, and the quote kind of captures this, to determine what community building contributes to community change efforts. And demonstrating the connection between community building outcomes and key indicators of health. And so in terms of a planning process, with all of our work with tribes, we used a community-based participatory approach. You know, the tribe's really in the driver's seat, and the issue of respecting and honoring tribal sovereignty is at the forefront. As I mentioned, we did a lot of focused literature reviews, and once we had the logic model developed, we started looking across the literature to look for theories and models that that it seemed to fit with. Like, what does this make sense? How can we lay a framework on this to design this evaluation? We wanted to look at the evidence base for making those connections between the outputs and the outcomes so that we had a theory to support those pathways to change. So we created a framework around these key constructs, and I'll show you using the model that we selected. And then we created these matrices. So matrices is a nice way of saying, you know, we had a bunch of tables in our evaluation plan where we really delineated the constructs that we were looking at and then defined what our evaluation questions were for each of those constructs, and I'm going to lay this out in a minute, the measures for each of those, and then some of the indicators. And then finally, selected methods and data sources. We had to do a lot of primary data collection because there's huge gaps in data, so that also kind of ate up some resources. And then throughout, we had a stakeholder engagement plan in the very beginning to make sure that throughout the process we were really connected and tried our best to align the evaluation timeline with the program. But if you've done this work before, you know that program timelines change, and they can go really rapid and they can slow down, and so staying on pace with the program is a challenge. This is just a quick visualization of how we overlaid a performance management system on top of our evaluation. So we did four types of evaluation: process, implementation, outcome, and impact. And within each of those types, it shows you the types of performance management we were doing. So we had some performance standards aligned with our process evaluation. We did performance measurement for implementation. We really focused on doing performance monitoring and reporting to kind of keep track of what was being achieved according to what we wanted to achieve. And then throughout was doing surveillance and monitoring of health behavior and health outcomes. So the theoretical framework that we selected is the work of Butterfoss and Kigler from 2008, and it's the Community Coalition Action Theory. So if you like diagrams, I'll show you a diagram here in a minute. But the major tenets of this theory are that coalitions, because all of this work was really being driven by coalitions, coalitions progress through stages, and they frequently loop back to earlier stages as this work is happening. And there's a number of contextual factors that are impacting them at each stage. And there's really key attributes, and when you look across all the coalition, you know, body of literature, there's key attributes and processes that are evidenced in this work as coalitions move through the process of convening to achieving outcomes. So here's a pretty picture of what that theory looks like. And so you can see at the top, the community context is acting on this entire process. At the bottom, it shows the stages that the coalition moves through from formation to institutionalization. And then in the middle is really the laying out of how that happens. So you have this convener, they develop this coalition membership, and then they move through, you know, their sort of organizational processes, leadership structure, to where the collaboration really happens, and you have engagement of members and pooling of resources toward conducting assessment, implementing your strategies, and achieving your outcomes. So how we put the evaluation on top of this. So when you see in the red there, the community assessment was done annually, and that was really to look at that community context. And then the process evaluation really looked at everything on the left side of this. So looking at all of the infrastructure, the coalition membership, staffing, leadership, and the formation of that. Our implementation evaluation focused in the middle here, that collaboration, assessment and planning process, and then the actual implementation of strategies. The outcome evaluation was looking here at the community change, so what policy systems, environmental changes were taking place. And then impact was looking at community capacity and the health and social outcomes. So the matrices that I talked about a little bit ago that we laid out to really detail all of this work was about 40 pages, double-sided. So obviously I can't talk about all that, but I wanted to give you a little snapshot of some of the detail and how we put these things together. So in this table you can see some of the constructs. So if you go back to this, each of these shapes is a construct in theory. And so we took each of these constructs, like coalition membership, and we had evaluation questions to try to think about coalition membership and understand that. And so some of the key things that we looked at was, you know, participation of sectors and of organizational partners. Leadership and staffing, we wanted to understand how did the Strategic Alliance for Health staff support the development of leadership. And then in terms of structures and leadership process, how effective do coalition members perceive their coalitions to be among a number of different factors? So taking each of the evaluation questions, we then detailed out measures. And so this is a very little snapshot of just some of the key measures that we looked at. And in order to collect data on these things, we, for all of our outcomes, we tried to look at multiple methods so that we could triangulate, so that we could see, are we seeing the same things across data sources? So that we can, we knew that, you know, we weren't able to do a comparison community. We couldn't randomize people, but could we try to see if we were finding the same things across many different pieces of data or information? And so for this, for process, we did a lot of document review. We still are doing a lot of document review. There was, you know, rosters, attendance, meeting logs. And then one of the key coalition tools was a coalition assessment survey that we developed using, there's very good articles, systematic reviews of coalition literature, which I have a resource for you at the end. We didn't pick any one of those. We kind of picked some of the key measures from a few of them. For implementation, we looked at the major constructs of member engagement, pooled resources, implementation of strategies, and assessment and planning. And so here's some example evaluation questions that we focused on. And then just taking one of those evaluation questions, again, that long list of measures is just a little piece of everything that we collected in order to understand coalition membership and how they perceived, you know, the capacity, sustainability of their coalition, the cohesion, and the productivity. And that data, again, was collected through a coalition assessment that was done annually through document review, but then also we did in-depth interviews. For outcomes, particularly the construct of community change outcomes, we did a number of small-scale evaluation studies that were specific. You know, I mentioned there's four funded communities, and so we selected specific strategies within each community to do a more in-depth study. And so then we wrote evaluation questions to look at the community change outcomes specific to those strategies. So one of them we focused on was smoke-free environments, particularly smoke-free housing. And so how has public will in support of smoke-free environments or housing increased? How many smoke-free policies were actually adopted? You know, this is the, we said we would do this. Did we do that? Did we achieve that? And then now what sectors now have smoke-free policies? And so some of the measures we looked at were units, like how many smoke-free housing units are there now? How many in actions of community members, how many requests have we received for smoke-free housing applications? What's the level of support among residents for smoke-free policies? So we had a number of different ways of collecting data. One of the ways was through a survey of housing residents and then also reviewing applications of housing residents. And then what's the number of community organizations that have adopted smoke-free policies? So again, document review, we did a number of different community surveys or sort of targeted subpopulation surveys. And then there's a CDC has an assessment tool, an environmental assessment tool that's called the Change Tool. If you've worked with CDC in the past 4 years, you're probably familiar with this. That was done on an annual basis. So impact. This is a construct of health and social outcomes and community capacity. And so, of course, we were looking at the changes in targeted health behaviors that you see listed there, and then monitoring chronic disease in both a subsample. So the tribal members, Sioux Tribe operates four health centers in their service area, so we were looking at a lot of tribal clinic data, but then also watching, since Sioux Tribe doesn't yet have, we're working on it, but they don't have a population level surveillance system, like a behavior risk factor survey. We're actually conducting one. They've since received a community transformation grant, so we're going to be able to do that through that project. But at the time we were doing this evaluation, population level data on chronic disease rates didn't really have that. And so we had to monitor on an ongoing basis the state's behavior risk factor survey data for their seven counties to see what trends there were. Here's some of the measures, and then you can see we had a number of methods for looking at impact there. What I really want to get to is the successes. So as evaluators, I think that sometimes you feel like evaluation might be sort of that add-on activity that, you know, program staff are so dedicated to the work that they're doing that you kind of have to be there cheering for evaluation, and that was not the case with this project. They were fully in owning this process, constantly coming to us, wanting to know what data they could collect, because they were really putting the data to action, which just makes the work all worthwhile. anything that we turned around and gave to them, they took immediately and incorporated into their work. It really was an amazing process. And so the priority was really there. It was about taking the results, getting it back to them as quickly as possible, and then them looking at what they were achieving. I think the best example or most concrete of this is when they came to one of the village councils, wanted to do a complete streets ordinance. We had done the community survey, and over 80% of the residents said that they said that they thought that it was the role of the government to put money toward improving sidewalks, so improving infrastructure so that there was safe walking and biking. And just sharing those results, that complete streets ordinance was passed unanimously. So there was a lot of capacity building for evaluation. We actually didn't have, there was so many evaluation activities going on. Obviously, we evaluated a ton of things in this initiative, and they took a lot of them on and did it themselves. You know, they would call or email and say, oh, we're doing this, we want to evaluate it, what do you have? And, you know, you'd send them some resources and tools, and they just went out and collected their own data and then would send it to us. So that was great. They were able to leverage additional resources using their evaluation results. They landed a community transformation grant, so they're going to be able to continue this work and really build on it for the next 5 years, which is extremely exciting. And then, you know, really good public health practice, collecting the data to inform their plans and to go back and evaluate and see how they're doing. Challenges. As much as I love that they love data, it's very challenging. It puts a lot of demand on the evaluation process. Some of these things take time, and they really wanted things rapidly. You know, we'd get a survey done. We hadn't even cleaned the data yet, and they're saying, I have a community meeting in 2 weeks. So we really put a lot of time and energy into making sure that they had immediate or as close to immediate access to their data as possible. But at the same time, there's a lot of hurry up and wait. You know, some of the policy change would happen very rapidly. We would, you know, on weekly or biweekly call updates, they'd say, oh, well, we passed that policy last week. And then other times it was something that was ongoing for 2 years. And so then you start to worry about your baseline data and collecting follow-up data. The program staff are extremely dedicated. They put their community work first. And, you know, there were times where it's like, well, ideally we would like to be collecting data right now, or we'd really like to do this method. How did that work? And they'd say, you know what? We are way too busy right now. We can't do that. And the program came first, because ultimately what we really wanted is to have a positive impact on health. And so evaluation helps, and I'd be the first one to advocate for it, but it was definitely more important that they were able to put their resources into program. The complexity of this initiative, I think it goes without saying if you're evaluating this work that it's extremely complex. There's so many factors to look at, and so constantly trying to look back at what we were doing and seeing how we could do it better, and then getting to that impact, really connecting the dots. So lesson learned. You can't evaluate everything. I actually believe that you can. There's a way you can evaluate it. It's just you probably shouldn't. That matrix that I talked about, we created 40 pages. I mean, that was ridiculous. It was a ton of work. But in many ways, you know, there's not a lot of evidence on how tribes are doing this work and how it's really working for them. And so we felt like a major part of our role was helping them to show the work that they were achieving and what outcomes they were having. And so we wanted to do this work. It became too much. And so we had to, over time, kind of figure out, okay, where do you really want to focus on and scale back? The priorities of the community come first, as I mentioned. The role of the external evaluator, I think that there's a lot of discussion around how involved or not involved evaluators should be as external evaluators. We've really found with this type of work, because of the way that the initiative can change and take on a life as its own, the way that we could really understand what was happening in the community was really to be more involved. And that's not to say that I was, you know, on the ground or our team was on the ground doing these initiatives, but that we were extremely involved with the staff. We were in constant communication with them. We were going into the community and observing meetings. And we were really a part of the planning process in some ways, so that we could make sure that our evaluation truly was aligned with what the program or what the initiative was. Dissemination, we definitely put a priority, or they wanted the priority to be on using the results in a very real way for their stakeholders. And so that took any type of resources we might have had to do dissemination, you know, in peer-reviewed publications or presentations for really a long part of the project. And so now we're going back and saying, you've done so much good work. Let's try to also integrate this piece in so we can make sure that we share with others how this is going. And then just ultimately the flexibility and adaptability of expectations, timelines, and methods was the key to being able to do this very complicated process. Here's the resources I promised to share. These were just four of sort of the key ones that I thought were most helpful in designing the evaluation. The first really goes through some key constructs and measures to think about related to coalitions. The second there by Gabriel, the methodological challenges of looking at partnerships and coalitions. Annie E. Casey Foundation put out this guide to measuring advocacy and policy, and there's a lot of information in there about how to think about this work within very theoretically, but also in terms of those methods and measures and instruments that you can use. And then if you haven't been to NCORE, the National Collaborative on Childhood Obesity Research Measures, that's a really good place to find specific measures and instruments related to physical activity, nutrition, and obesity. Thank you.